What if the hardest truths in Scripture are actually the greatest acts of mercy? If you've been walking with us through Romans chapters 1 and 2, you may feel the accumulating weight of Paul's argument. He has not offered comfort too quickly. He has not softened the edges. Instead, he's taken a theological sledgehammer to every false refuge that the human heart naturally builds. Romans 1 opens up with a declaration that shocks our modern sensibilities. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Paul doesn't begin with human potential, but with divine judgment. Humanity suppresses truth that is plainly revealed in creation. And the problem is not intellectual deficiency, but moral rebellion. People exchange the glory of God for images, the truth for a lie, the creator for creation. And in response, God gives them up to their desires. The wrath of God is not merely future, it is present in judicial abandonment. And just when we are tempted to nod along and say, yes, those terrible pagans out there, Paul turns the spotlight in Romans chapter 2. The moralist who judges others practices the same things. The religious insider who boasts in the law actually dishonors God by breaking the law. Possessing Scripture does not equal obedience to Scripture. Hearing the law does not justify. Doing it would, but no one does it perfectly. Circumcision, that cherished covenant sign, is rendered meaningless without heart transformation. True belonging to God is inward by the Spirit, not merely outward by ritual. So by the time we reach the end of chapter 2, every category of human confidence has been dismantled. Ignorance cannot save you. Moral comparison cannot protect you. Religious heritage cannot justify you. Ethnicity cannot shield you. External signs cannot regenerate you. God shows no partiality, and he judges according to truth, including by the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So at this point, Paul anticipates the objection. Then what advantage has the Jew? And his answer is not dismissive, but it's very emphatic. Much in every way. The chief advantage is that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Scripture itself is a gift of grace. God revealed his character, his covenant, his redemptive plan, and ultimately, the promise of the Messiah. Privilege is real. Exposure to God's word is a profound blessing. But privilege does not equal righteousness. So Paul then guards the character of God with fierce clarity. Human unfaithfulness does not nullify God's faithfulness. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, Paul would write. God's righteousness is upheld not only in saving, but also in judging. His justice is not compromised by human sin. Rather, his holiness shines more clearly against it. So here is the doctrinal arc of Romans chapter 1 and 2. Humanity is universally accountable because God has revealed himself. God's wrath is just because sin is real and pervasive. Religious privilege increases responsibility, but it doesn't guarantee salvation. True covenant membership, it's inward, a work of the Spirit, and God remains faithful to his promises, including his promise to judge sin. And all of this is moving somewhere. Romans chapter 3 is about to gather every strand together and tie them into one inescapable conclusion. None is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By works of the law, no human being will be justified. Every mouth will be stopped. But that's not the end of the story. In fact, it's the necessary prelude to the most glorious pivot in the New Testament. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The wrath revealed in Romans chapter 1 prepares us to cherish the righteousness revealed in Romans chapter 3. The impartial judgment of Romans chapter 2 prepares us to marvel at the justifying grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The exposure of sin makes the cross not optional, but essential. It is surgical mercy. God wounds our pride so that he might heal our souls. He strips away every false confidence so that when Christ is revealed as our righteousness, we will cling to him alone. So don't rush past the heaviness of Romans chapter 1 and 2. Let it humble you. Let it silence you. Because when chapter 3 unfolds fully, you will see that the gospel is not simply helpful advice for decent people. It is the only hope for condemned sinners. And that changes everything. As you contemplate Romans chapters 1 and 2, pray this prayer with me. Father, let the weight of your truth humble me deeply so that the glory of Christ's righteousness may satisfy me completely. Here are two peoples that you can pray for today. Milan Bulak, our national changemaker in the Czech Republic, and also the Kigogo LifeWord broadcast for the people of Tanzania.